What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Game Changers podcast. Today is just going to be Luke and I, just because there's so much going on in the world of sports right now that we decided that we need an entire episode to ourselves. So
that's true.
Happy hump day to Luke.
Happy hump day. Exactly.
Yes.
Wednesdays are great.
You know what? You're going to be on the other end of the hump soon.
Let's hope.
Let's talk about what's been going on in the world of sports. I have a few points. So on every episode, we always have a few points that Luke and I both give to each other, just to keep updated and everything. So my first point is that the NCAA, which is the National Cheerleading Association, North Carolina A&T made history by winning that this year. In Daytona Beach, Florida. This was last weekend. It was all over TV. It was all over just national television. I had a few friends that went, one from Maryland and one from Tampa, and it looked so much fun. But for those who have ever seen the movie Bring It On, know that that's exactly what I was thinking of the whole time. I was ready for, like, the Mickey song and, like, the whole drama. Like, I'm sure there was drama going on. But that's all 100%. I thought about during... Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Bring It On movie.
Yes, the Bring It On, but not only the first one. The first one.
So then when you watch gymnastics, do you think of the Stick It movie?
Absolutely. Constantly? Every time. Also, every time I listen to Blink 182, that's all I think about too.
Okay.
There's like three of their songs in that movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stick It needs to bring their movie onto streaming platforms because...
Oh, yes, please.
It's necessary.
It is.
I mean... Don't you think that Stick It is probably the best movie to depict gymnastics?
Yeah, it is. Well, living it for, seeing you live it for as long as you did, and then me living it, even though there's no guys in gymnasts in the movie, being around gymnastics as long as I have been around it and then coaching it, it is 100% realistic, in my opinion. It is
so accurate.
How it actually is with parents, coaches, gymnasts, everything. It is very accurate. So if anybody is looking for an accurate movie to depict what gymnastics at the elite level is like, that's a movie to watch.
Absolutely.
That was a cool question we should have asked Anya last week.
Oh, we should have. Is, you know, what movie is similar to
how it's like,
yeah. Going through right now. Yeah. Well, on that note, my next tidbit of information is that we are 100 days away from Paris Olympics.
Oh, really?
And that is really exciting. We are 100 days. Yep. And
it's closer than that.
Team USA Gymnastics, who have a few friends that are on that team, they were on the Today Show in New York City.
Yes.
This past week, which was so cool. National television, gymnastics. I mean, we talked about gymnastics last week, but it was both of our lives. For a long time.
A very long time, yes.
Super cool. I cannot wait for one of my friends, Kayla DeCello, to shine. I'm so excited to watch her. She's worked so hard. And so is everybody else. I mean,
I don't think I know anybody. I don't know anybody on the national team. I know former national team members, but I don't know anybody, I think, on the team now. Mm-hmm. Unless you count Danelle. I do know Danelle Wittenberg. Yeah. Because he's from Maryland. We competed at the same meets
he's
when I was growing up.
For like years.
Yeah. But most of the guys I've been friends with are already gone and past their years.
Yeah, they have children now. They're retired. Yeah. Yeah, we're out of the gymnastics world now, so not as easy. But my last information, which is what I'm most excited about, is that the Orioles swept the Twins this week. And Gunnar Henderson hit a home run every single game, with Cedric Mullins making a diving catch, obviously on ESPN Top 10, and hitting a walk-off to win it today. He has so much time, and that's why I don't think anyone's actually worried. His batting average really doesn't mean much right now. Yeah, his batting average really just doesn't mean much right now. The more it bats, the more comfortable he's going to feel. And he does look aggressive in the field, I have to say. Despite the error that he had the first game out, I think he looked great at his opening outing at Camden Yards. I think he looked great. But I love the Orioles, and now everyone else is loving the Orioles, and it's great. So you and I were on the Orioles train. We were supporting them no matter what, and they finally got out on the other end. Yes, since we could walk. Yes. Fun fact, before we go into the next thing, Brian Roberts, who Luke couldn't say his R's when he was younger, was Brian Wubbets. Fun fact, he actually played at University of South Carolina. So that was awesome. So yeah, that was my fun fact of the day. Oh my gosh, can we talk about the Masters? He's incredible. And I worked all weekend. So I worked at a restaurant. I work at a restaurant, and it was on our big screen. We had this huge TV, and it was on the screen the entire week. And so I did get to watch it. I didn't get to like sit down and actually watch it, but I did watch it, and I watched his last putt, and it was great. We had a lot of foreigners, like people from England and Scotland. Yeah, it was awesome. They were all, you know, but what I find is that everyone likes Scottie Scheffler. Like the way he carries himself, he's very humble. He's just a nice guy, good heart, and he's so talented. And he has worked for this talent since he was like 13. He is just so talented. And from what I heard from all the fans who were, you know, supporting somebody else, is when he won, no one was upset. Like everyone's rooting for him because of just who he is. He's a great golfer, and I loved watching. But they are so different. And from what I saw, like something that really stood out to me was, so Scheffler, I don't think he was ever down, if I'm not mistaken. But he, for a little while, I remember that he wasn't up by as many as he. All right, so back to the Masters.
Yes.
Scottie Scheffler was down, and I was saying how I admire that in every sport, like whether it's you're down by 3 runs or you're down by 10 points or whatever it is, like the fact that he composed himself and didn't let it get to him and still won.
He's learned from, he was on the Q school, which for people who don't know golf, there's 3 different levels to get on, or there's 100 million different ways to get on the PGA Tour. But the PGA Tour has 3 sanctioned tours. They have Q school, Corn Ferry, and the PGA Tour. There's also the European Tour and PGA Tours all over the country. But Q School is a like 3 tournament, I think, something like that. It's like 1 or 2 tournaments. And the top 10 of Q School get onto the Corn Ferry Tour. Then the top 10 of the Corn Ferry Tour, which plays an entire season, top 10 of the Corn Ferry Tour get their PGA Tour cards. And that is how you get on tour. Your PGA Tour cards are like a year long, I believe. And you can only play in certain events because now they have the majors, which only the top 50 in the world plus the invites and past champions of the 4 majors get into those. And then there are other events on the PGA Tour that are signature events that are designated events that are only the top 60 or 50 in the World Golf Ranking or the PGA Tour points. To cut it short, there's 3 different ways to get onto the tour, and it's a Q School, Corn Ferry, and then PGA Tour. When he was trying to get on the tour for a long time, finally won won an event in Q School, got his Corn Ferry Tour card, and then grinded on the Corn Ferry Tour for I think a year or two, and then came up onto the PGA Tour 3 years ago and finally got his first win, and then ever since then he's just gone off. He's got 9 wins, 2 majors, and just absurd how quickly he's gone from Q School, Corn Ferry, to now number 1 golfer in the world.
He's just incredible.
And that's just a testament to his work ethic and how he is able to compose himself in those tough situations, because he's been in them before on Corn Ferry and Q School, to that now when he's in a major, he just kind of equivalates that to what he's done in his past to get there. And I think he's just learned how to
compose himself, I guess, in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he does
handle himself in really stressful situations.
But, yeah. And his swing, everybody's like, oh, his swing's this, his swing's that. Like, it is a very weird swing. He does a lot of footwork with it. But if you look at it in slow motion, his body and his feet don't move, really, until after contact. And whatever you do after contact really doesn't matter.
His
wife still isn't in labor yet. So this thing is, he still said whatever this week there in Hilton Head at the RBC Heritage and beautiful golf course. And he said the same thing that if his wife goes into labor at any point in time, he's withdrawing. But the fact that he went from winning the Masters 3 days ago to, there was a picture of him at a local bar with the green jacket. And then 2 days later, he has to go back to normal PGA Tour. This is a designated event, so it's only like the top 60 players in the world. But he's playing practice rounds, getting ready for another tournament after winning the biggest tournament in golf. So just never stops and probably is favored to win too. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Heritage is really cool. I think it's not very far from me, but it's a really cool event. I think it's a little bit, especially happening after the Masters, like, I think that's a good thing, but also a bad thing. People don't realize that it's actually like, there are some esteemed golfers that golf at the Heritage. And
it's worked its way up from an average tour event to a designated event now with the best golfers in the world and on tour on it. So it's a good tournament. Matt Fitzpatrick won it last year. So he's the defending champ, so he's probably favored too. But it was Wesley Bryan's only tour win. It's been a big tournament for a lot of people, so it should be a good one. Beautiful lighthouse on 18.
Oh, it's stunning. Mm-hmm. And it's on the water. And I actually have a guy that I know that is a caddy there.
Oh, okay. That was awesome.
Yeah, he goes.
But never had the opportunity to go.
I know. It would have been so fun. But yeah, it's beautiful there. Yeah. I can't wait to see
who wins. It's only like 3 hours from the house.
Yeah, not far at all. It should be fun to watch. I'm excited. Yeah. But for our little fact of the day. All right. In his first PGA Tour event as an amateur, this golfer made a hole-in-one.
First PGA Tour event as an AM.
Mm-hmm. This golfer made a hole-in-one.
As an amateur, his first. How long ago was it? And can I get a hint on what tournament?
Yeah. Okay. 2014 Byron Nelson Championship.
Oh, the 2014 Byron Nelson. Okay. So 2014, who was an AM at the time?
He aced the 221-yard second hole with a 5-iron.
Okay.
And he finished 22 under.
As an AM?
As an AM.
Did he win?
Yeah.
So he... Okay. There's only been like two or three amateurs to win...
He's from Dallas.
Oh, it's not Scheffler.
We were just talking about him.
It's Scotty Scheffler.
It's Scotty Scheffler.
I thought I didn't know if you were going to do that to me. Didn't know if you were going to do that to me. I figured you would. But there's only been like three amateurs to win a PGA Tour event, and one of them was last year. Or this year. One of the two. I don't know. I can't remember. But it was No, it wasn't Nick Dunlap. It was Bennett. I can't remember his first name at the moment. But Bennett won a tour event as an amateur this season, I believe, earlier this season or late last season. I think it was early this season. And then had a week to decide if he wanted to keep his tour card and keep the money. Well, first of all, he can't give the money because he's an amateur. But he had a week to decide because if you win, you get your tour card. And he had a week to decide, and he decided to keep his tour card and drop out of college. probably the best decision he could have made for himself. But I would have done the same thing.
It's fascinating that he didn't really almost study golf until high school. He played basketball, baseball, football, through his childhood, and didn't really focus on golf until high school, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't really focus on golf until high school, and I focused on baseball majority of the time. But I played golf in high school and was not as good as Scottie Scheffler. So, yeah.
He's awesome. It was a good week for golf. It was a good week for baseball. So next week, we are going to have a special guest, and we'll see you guys next time when Game Changers returns.
See ya.